Hello and welcome to the AIOps Podcast. Here we evangelize how AIOps platforms can transform your IT ecosystem. To experience the power of AI-led automation, visit our website at www.ziff.ai. Thanks for tuning in. We hope this episode adds value to you.
Welcome to podcast 3 of the three-part series, where we are going to talk a little bit about the business use case. We briefly touched upon it in our answers in podcast 1, but I want to dedicate this session to really talk purely from a business perspective, from an ROI perspective, from an impact perspective, because health AI ML in healthcare is a vast ocean, right? So if you were to rank the top three possible areas where you see AI ML making a big impact in healthcare now, AI ML making an impact in healthcare down the road. And I say down the road because it might take some time for the algorithms to catch up. It might take some time for business processes to get streamlined and so on. And where do you think AI ML should not be there in healthcare? Mr. Shivankar?
The very first use case nowadays is very common is chatbot, right? Mm-hmm. And this chatbot applications are using in various area, like for virtual consultations, for patient engagement, for your smoothening your internal service desk automations. So this is the first and most popular use case of AI. And I think it's a mature enough, I think, in some extent. I'm not saying that it can decide the clinical 100%, but still it can recommend, as Dr. Naresh mentioned, that it can assist to the clinicians and to reduce their time with computer rather than with patients. So chatbot is the prime use case to collect the data and to apply the AI part. Second is like your again, this e-pharmacy concept. This is the second an e-pharmacy for your acute patients. You have those who require periodic medicines and monitoring systems. So that is also a very good use case, and we are using internally also. And for like dialysis patients, you need a periodic monitoring systems, and based on monitoring systems, you have to recommend the medicines. Again, it is helping to the clinicians. So these two use cases is very much prominent, I think, and there are multiple use case. The problem is in the last broadcast, we discussed that the main problem is to get the quality data immediately. Mm-hmm. And to get this quality data, we have to adhere a process, a proper process-centric ecosystems. Once it will be adapted in our ecosystems, then we get the quality data, then we can put a proper algorithms and on those data, and we can build, because technology sites, it is ready. But how to apply, where to apply, this is very a kind of risky propositions as of now. Mm-hmm. Although we are going forward, like in X-rays also, in some of the imaging services, we are using AI part. But again, this is use case will be only for chest X-ray, yeah, some other one and two cases. But it is not covering up everything because of they are not getting the quality data.
Understood. Very quick follow-up question. The most popular application that you spoke about was the chatbot. And we are seeing the chatbot actually being used in multiple other industries, right? The finance industry, the retail industry, and so on. Is the reason that it is so popular because it's almost become productized and it can just be taken and applied? Or is the story different? Is chatbot for healthcare very different than chatbot for other industries? And are people really seeing ROI on that and custom creating it?
You are correct. To some extent, definitely, they are used to use this chatbot in different domains, in banking specifically, in retail, and in food and beverage systems also. So in those areas, they are very used to. So from user points, user perspective, they don't need any kind of training as per se. This is not very extended training they require. So if you introduce this kind of facility to the consumers, then they will adopt a chatbot very quickly. The main difference between these two chatbot is like your healthcare chatbot depends, like Dr. Naresh already mentioned, this algorithm, how you develop this algorithm, it's depends on your age, depends on your it depends on your geography, depends on your gender. So all these kind of algorithms we require. So from consumer perspective, they don't know how this can, this has been built. But I told you, because they are used to on different domains, so they are using chatbot more. And they're getting, introducing healthcare chatbot. If you introduce e-pharmacy, selling your pharmaceuticals product, so they already used to use this retail chatbot. So it is very to get into these ecosystems. In this way, you can understand those psychology of the consumers also.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that's why it is so popular in healthcare.
Understood.
And even I must explain another thing, like, you know, lifestyle also. Healthcare lifestyle area where yoga, yeah, this kind of area where this chatbot has been introduced, and it's kind of very attractive also.
Yeah, health lifestyle, right?
Health lifestyle, yeah.
Right. Got it. Dr. Naresh, what would be your winners and losers? Which areas do you think are poised to become big in the healthcare side, AI ML adoption in the healthcare side? Which sides are red flags? And also one additional question is the decision on which areas to go into, primarily dictated by ROI?
Let me take the second question first. While ROI is a parameter which every CIO in every healthcare institution, along with total cost of ownership, we keep struggling to convince the finance and the management there is a definite ROI for every IT investment we make. Mm-hmm. Coming to these such technologies, obviously there is a qualitative benefit, there's a quantitative benefit mm-hmm. for every IT digital journey which a hospital goes through. This, I would say, more from a qualitative benefit to start off. The reason why is that there's no success stories around, especially in India, where such technologies have really helped smoothen or enhance the efficient care delivery from a clinical standpoint, from an operation standpoint, right? So to start off with, I would say there's a qualitative benefit which this technology can bring about. Over a period of time, it would bring down and give you the quantitative benefit which an organization would expect.
But what is the qualitative benefit precisely?
So for example, if I go back to the clinical concept, right? So if you want to increase the quality of care which we give to patients, right? So if the system can alert the doctors and nurses and the paramedical staff or all the clinical fraternity who are involved in treating a case, right? By knowing who is the patient, what problems does the patient have, you know, what are the treatments which we can give, etc., before the treatment starts, then it will be easier for them to, you know, provide better care and a faster and efficient care to patients. That is a qualitative benefit, right? If the doctor is able to understand the case better so that he can, as Mr. Balaji said, if he can spend more time with the patient and less time on technology because of this proactive approach where the technology is able to help suggest, nudge the doctor on more information related to a patient so that he is well prepared of what case he's trying to deal with so that he can talk more with the patient, less on the system. That's also a qualitative benefit to the hospital as well as to the patient also.
Understood.
So I would look at it as a qualitative benefit to start off with, and then maybe a quantitative benefit over a period of time. Once the success stories come up, every organization believes that this is a technology to go ahead, and then we adopt it. So coming back to your first question of where are the red flags, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't comment saying that there are areas where this technology should not be used, right? I would look at the business case, try to understand whether this technology can help or not first, right? So I don't want to start a pretext in mind saying that, okay, these are the areas where I don't want to venture into. I would not do that.
Understood. Balaji, the same question to you, but also maybe one thing to kind of focus on. Where do you think AI ML could be applied in healthcare, 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road? And where do you think it's hot right now?
It's very hot right now because healthcare has so much of data, patient data, operational data, diagnostic data, clinical data. And people believe that this technology can actually help make some intelligent decisions, both from a patient care perspective as well as cost of the patient care, right? So I think that's very, very hot. People are now trying to grab towards the ability or inability to be able to attract patients for these elective surgeries, elective treatments, and so on, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Second big important area where I think Mr. Shivankar touched briefly is wellness. Mm. There are a lot of people exploring if you could use the medical devices, if you could use the various instruments available to help figure out the wellness of an individual or a wellness of a discharged patient, mm-hmm. and keep preventive care or preventive need for them to come back to the hospital, mm-hmm. and be able to do something about it if that can be avoided. So why not? People are exploring there. The third area where I have seen a lot of people explore is the diagnostic information. Mm. People, when they use data from MRI scans, from X-ray machines, from various diagnostic tools, they have to go through zillions of data before they can come to some conclusion. In some cases, it may not be one test, right? It has to be followed by tests. And a specialist team may have to come with various categories of specialization, need to come together to come to some conclusion. Can we expedite that process because there is a pattern available, because there is some insight which is not very visible available, and expedite the process of diagnosis? We have seen one of the leading hospitals in US try out that. And when we were able to demonstrate to them that their entire diagnosis is, the time taken to diagnose is reduced by half, they were thrilled about it, right? The doctor themselves. So I think there is definitive need for application of this technology to healthcare right now, and it's pretty hot. The only challenge, as I said, is the data, the quality of the data, and the regulatory norms, which people have a notion about that they need to overcome. The second one, 5-10 years down the line, I think this technology will be mainly adopted by healthcare compared to many other organizations or industries. The reason is, I think the technology advancements, both in terms of clinical trials as well as the unfortunate incidents or natural incidents which are happening, and hence healthcare to be up to speed with it, mm-hmm. right? Things like hospital-acquired infections, things mm-hmm. like dosing patterns, mm-hmm. things like feedback back to the pharma giants with regards to trial data being used. We're already seeing that, and that's going to be the trend, is to how to get the treatment fast, how to get the treatment quicker in terms of accessibility as well as in terms of the cost of the treatment, and how can they course correct quickly rather than wait for an event to happen before they course correct. I think those are going to drive adoption of this technology far more, because one thing for sure I've seen, Professor, that the doctors mm-hmm. believe is that there's enough data, but they don't know what to do with the data. So the availability of data is not a problem. It's the quality of the data and the limitations of the data, which I think will now start to recede, and expansions will happen in those areas to enable better patient care. And what I like about the healthcare bots, which Mr. Shivankar said, compared to other industries, the question which you asked is, this bot has to have empathy along with it. Compared to other industries, the bot which will have, there's a behavioral pattern which this bot needs to have when interacting with a patient or a potential patient, compared to bots of a bank or a bots of another logistics or a travel industry. I'm not saying empathy is not needed there, but it's far more needed here.
Right.
And I think those are things which are going to be using the challenges are going to come up while they're using this technology. But this technology in healthcare is here to stay, according to where I'm seeing from talking to a lot of my hospital friends and customers around the world.
Got it. Dr. Naresh, you had a thought?
Professor, because we're talking about ROI, just wanted to highlight a point where any such technology, new technologies being inducted into an industry, it should be at an affordable cost, right? And where the focus is on profitability, efficiency, quality, etc. The eye towards efficiency on the financial front cannot be taken lightly. Let me give you a small example of a recent product which was launched into the Indian ecosystem, which is from an IBM Watson. Right, it was priced exorbitantly, where none of the hospitals were able to even think of adopting.
Right.
Even though Watson had its own, features which every healthcare, every doctor could adopt. Right. At what cost do we adopt these technologies? Mm-hmm. Right. It should be at an affordable cost. Definite use cases, success stories is what I would say to be successful at that.
Got it. So I just had one last question, and as someone who is not in the healthcare side but on the AI ML side, a lot of what I heard in terms of the use cases either learned from human beings or prescribed to human beings, right? So we heard a lot about how assisting clinicians is important. So unlike in, let's say, the manufacturing sector, where you're replacing human beings and you're kind of, there's no need for a human aligned AI. There is no need for assistance. So you're not really working at assistance, you're looking at replacement. What I'm hearing, at least from you, is the use cases all seem to revolve around learning from human beings or assisting human beings. Is that a trend is that the nature of the game, or is that just the case now? And perhaps you'll see that change. Is healthcare unique in that?
I don't think it's a unique thing with healthcare. I think every industry would go through that, when there's a new thing which has come about, right? So it's a journey which, again, it's part of the digital journey which a hospital would take. It is not something unique. A hospital cannot exist only on an AI-ML solution, not have anything else. Mm-hmm. Right? It's part of the journey which it adopts at the right time, at the right tool, at the right technology, at the right price.
Got it. Mr. Shivankar, we heard two cases from you. One is the e-pharmacist one, as well as the clinical assistants. To me, one of them sounded, again, like assisting the human decision maker. The other might be replacing a human being. Where do you think on that balance AI/ML interventions in healthcare might play a role?
Obviously, it's not a replacement of human being, replacement of the process, basically. Mm-hmm. And I'd say that whoever existing in the process, they have to adapt those technology in other sense. We are not pushing technology to replace human, at least not in healthcare, basically. And technology is using... Basically, for CIOs, you have to use the psychology of the consultant even. Nowadays, I must say, these consultants are thinking from business sides, right? So one is like their practice, second is from the business sides also. So you have to use that psychology of the consultant, how you can empower their thoughts, their business thoughts, basically. So we have to put those technology on their mind that if you use these tools, then you can generate more revenue from your consumers. So if you put that psychology in their mind, they definitely will adopt this kind of technology and they'll go ahead. And I must say it is not replacing anybody, manpower in the ecosystems. It is always assisting the ecosystems only. That manpower, that resource should be part of that technology. That's
right. And I think what you're saying, therefore, makes it inherently also qualitative, as we heard Dr. Naresh mention. Great. I just wanted to thank you all so much for joining me on podcast 3 of 3 on you know, which areas within healthcare are amenable or well poised to take on AI ML interventions, and which areas perhaps not yet. Thank you all so much. This has been a very enjoyable and learning experience for me. Look forward to hearing from you and meeting you in the future as well.
Thanks for listening to the AIOps podcast. Schedule a free demo today to experience the power of AI-led automation that can transform your IT ecosystem into a zero-incident enterprise. After all, zero is the new normal. Let us make this a reality for you.